Voice of Minnesota. Welcome into FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on a Thursday afternoon. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be speaking with Mark Haney, who is a consumer rights attorney here in the Twin Cities, also a former AM 950 radio host, by the way. Now, the reason we're going to be speaking with him is that consumer rights are really going to be a big issue amid the COVID-19 pandemic, because we're likely to see more predatory-type lenders pop up in the next few weeks and months. And then, what's going to happen with debt collectors? Could we see more predatory schemes and debt collection practices from them that aren't necessarily legal? So we're going to be talking about all of that with Mark Haney coming up in just a few minutes on the show. But first, let's get to some headlines for today. Now, the first one is that a coalition of Minnesota faith organizations have sued the Governor Tim Walz administration about his executive order that closed their places of worship to in-person worshiping. Now, their argument is that the partial economic shutdown has violated their constitutional rights. Now, to me, this doesn't seem like they have much standing, because the governor technically does have these emergency powers from the Minnesota Constitution. The only argument I could see them potentially having is if in the executive order, Governor Walz, for some reason, were to decide that only certain faith groups were to have to close, which obviously was not in his executive order, so not really thinking there's going to be a lot of standing there, but either way, that case is going to end up in the court system. Now, speaking of legal action regarding governor's executive orders, let's go to the other side of the river in Wisconsin. You've probably heard about this in the news today, but there is a case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court that could potentially force Democratic Governor Tony Evers to reopen the state. Now, the case was being argued today, and one of the conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court made an offhanded comment that really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So in the middle of oral arguments yesterday about the legality of the stay-at-home order, an attorney for Governor Evers had just pointed out to Brown County, Wisconsin, as an example of how fast the coronavirus can spread. The county, which is the home of the GBS Packerland meatpacking plant, had its coronavirus cases surge more than tenfold, from 60 cases to almost 800 in just a two-week period. But that's when conservative Supreme Court Justice Patience Rogensack decided to jump in. She said, due to her flawless logic, these were due to meatpacking, though. That's where Brown County got the flare. It wasn't just the regular folks in Brown County. Which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Is she potentially saying that meatpacking employees are not regular people? And then, of course, you have to add into the fact that these meatpacking people, who I guess, according to her, are not regular people, guess what? They're still going to go home. And if you reopen the economy, they're still going to be spreading that to so-called regular people. So conservatives do currently hold a 5-2 majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, although later this summer, one of the liberal justices who was just voted in will take their seat, which will reduce the conservative majority to only 4-3. But there was a special election back in 2018 that was a very competitive race that conservatives ended up winning. Now, if people had actually showed up to vote in that race, you could potentially have only a 4-3 majority for conservatives right now, which would probably reduce the chance of Governor Evers' order being overturned, which is probably going to be likely once that case does get ruled on by the justices. Also in the news today, and something we've been talking about quite a bit on the past few shows, Minnesota has a projected $2.4 billion budget deficit coming up in the next budgeting cycle. Members of the Minnesota legislature have already started making comments on how they think we should be dealing with the budget deficit, so I'm going to turn things over to Minnesota News Connection's Mike Moen, who was able to get comments from members of the state legislature.
In the span of 2 months, Minnesota's budget has taken a pandemic-driven turn off of a cliff. That has prompted fears about how a large deficit will impact programs and residents in need. Earlier this year, Minnesota had a $1.5 billion surplus, but the COVID-19 crisis wiped it away with a lot of force. There's now a projected deficit of $2.4 billion. Gennadet Alamu is a small business owner in Richfield. He worries state leaders will end up cutting vital social programs, creating a ripple effect across Minnesota.
Minnesota is a collective community, and I feel like when a program is cut from one people that's using it, that's cut, it affects all of us.
While he says the budget pain should be a shared sacrifice, Alamu adds that the state should look at taxing higher income earners to plug any holes. This week, a coalition of advocacy groups and unions made a similar plea, saying lower-income residents shouldn't bear the brunt of the budget fix. State lawmakers from both parties say it might be too early to finalize a list of specific ideas, but GOP Representative Pat Garofalo says the state can't deficit spend like the federal government can, while noting that whatever painful decisions are made, nobody will like them. Garofalo, the Republican lead on the House Ways and Means Committee, says the state should only make limited use of its rainy day fund and that cuts should represent 50% of the solution.
We have to adjust the mindset of government to recognize that at the same time we're going to be doing a greater focus on critical things, other functions of government, we're just going to have to temporarily suspend those activities.
DFL Representative Liz Olson of Duluth is vice chair of the Ways and Means Committee. She says past administrations have made cuts that have harmed state residents. She says the long-term effect of those cuts has surfaced during the crisis.
It really hurt the people you're most trying to help in a moment of crisis like this. So before we go straight to that cuts approach, I think we need to think about where spots that we maybe are doing well and how do we use the reserve smartly and how do we think about not just what the impact will be right now on this budget, but our budgets in the future.
Governor Tim Walz, a fellow Democrat, suggests that all scenarios should be considered, including possible layoffs and furloughs of state workers. Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
So as we heard from those comments from Representative Pat Garofalo saying that budget cuts need to be at least 50% of the solution, I, of course, disagree with him. I still like the logic that I was talking about on yesterday's show, where I believe government should have an inverse relationship with how the private economy is currently functioning, because government needs to function as a social safety net. So if you have private employers that are laying off and firing a number of workers, that's where government can step in and hire workers and help get them revenue. And by the way, if you have workers that are employed by the government, that means it's more money you can reinvest in the local economy because they're still going to go home and obviously spend that money at grocery stores and so on and so on. So I've never quite gotten that logic about why, when we have a private economy that is in a downturn, why we need to cut government. I think that relationship should be the exact opposite, where when we have a bad economy, that's when government needs to step in and help people out. That's exactly what we did during the FDR years, during the Great Depression, when we had our public works program. And if we do need to cut government, you should be doing that when we're having a strong private economy. And one final story before we head to break. Want to follow up on a phone call we got last week from Rich in Tempe, Arizona, talking about third parties and access to the ballots. Because there's a case that's going to be before a U.S. District Court in a couple of weeks later in May that could have a major impact on whether third parties are going to get ballot access. So the requirements in Minnesota for third parties to get a candidate on the ballot are very stringent, to say the least. Under state election law, minor parties, that would be the non-DFL and Republican parties, must gather signatures of 2,000 registered voters to place a U.S. Senate candidate before fall voters, 1,000 signatures for a U.S. House candidate, and 500 for state House and state Senate candidates. But the problem is that they must collect those signatures only during a two-week period of May 19th to June 2nd. So think about what's happening right now. We have a stay-at-home order. We have a global pandemic. And if you have to get those signatures in person, which currently is the requirement, that's going to be a tough thing to do. In fact, the Libertarians brought up that they get 80% of those signatures needed by petitioning around the lakes of Minneapolis and at festivals like Grand Old Day in St. Paul. Well, good luck doing that with coronavirus closures. So they're currently asking Governor Tim Walz to sign an executive order that would lessen those requirements. Governor Walz has not signed any such executive order, and in terms of getting any legislation through the state legislature, well, that's unlikely since that would be included in election reform, which is caught up in a big caught up in a debate among Republicans and Democrats, since any legislation would include voting by mail. That's even though there are some Democrats in the legislature that are in favor of lessening those requirements for third parties to get on the ballot. Just unfortunately, it's getting caught up in the politics of the debate about voting by mail. So third parties in Minnesota certainly are going to have a lot of trouble trying to get their candidates on the ballot in non-presidential races. All right, coming up next on FYI Politics, we're going to be speaking with consumer rights attorney Mark Haney about your rights as a consumer amid the pandemic. A very important topic because there's lots of people that are going to be owing money to lenders. And of course, the situation is ripe for lots of predatory businesses and scammers. So we'll be speaking with Mark coming up next.
Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style, Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 5. You know, we're all sitting at home right now, and chances are you've noticed a thing or two that you wish you could change. Well, the Habitation Design staff is here to help. Right now, we're offering free virtual interior design services. It works like this. You guys are home, we're all at home. Let's schedule a virtual walkthrough of your space. Using FaceTime, Zoom, or Skype, one of our degreed professional interior designers will take a look, tell you precisely how to measure your room, then provide you with specific product recommendations, a design plan, and everything you need to make your space beautiful and functional. So we've all got the time. Why don't we take advantage of it? Call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548 and schedule your virtual design appointment today.
If you're looking to save money on your home or building improvement project, check out Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Retail Warehouse in South Minneapolis. We carry salvaged building materials such as cabinetry, flooring, plumbing fixtures, appliances, lighting, and more, saving you money and saving the planet by keeping these items out of the landfill, by giving them another life. Selections change daily, and we also take donations. Go to BetterFuturesMinnesota.com and look under Reuse Warehouse to learn more. Let us know AM 950 sent you.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here to say thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950 during this crisis. I also wanted to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart who's become a member of AM 950 over the last few weeks. It's so important to keep AM 950 on the air, maintaining a progressive radio voice in Minnesota for 2020. We feature the best in progressive talk and great local hosts like Brett Johnson, Robert Pilot, and myself. We started our membership program to make sure AM 950 got through this trying time, and you, the listener, have responded. Thank you so very much. You can become a member by simply heading over to am950radio.com and donating. The membership response has been so great, we're planning on launching some brand new members-only content, starting with some great new interviews. Tom Hartman will have a regular monthly members-only interview, and we'll have new member content updated weekly. Head over to am950radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM950. For everyone who is a member, thank you so very much for your support, and thanks for listening to the progressive voice of Minnesota, AM950.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com, give us a call, or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So we're joined now by a former AM 950 personality that you might remember from a number of years ago. It's Mark Haney, who used to host the show Minnesota Matters on AM 950. And right now he runs a law firm called Haney Law Firm, which specializes in consumer protections. Mark, good to get you back on the AM 950 airwaves.
Hi, Brett. It's always good to be back, and happy memories of spending a lot of time there with your listeners back when I was when we had our show, Minnesota Matters. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, when I first started listening to AM 950, I think this was when I was driving back and forth from jobs at college. I remember picking up AM 950, and I think I even occasionally heard your show. So kind of fun to get that to go full circle now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now I enjoy listening to you, so.
Oh, definitely appreciate that. All right, so before we dive into some of the topics, because we're going to be focusing on consumer protections and what rights people have amid the COVID-19 pandemic, but before we get into that, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about Haney Law Firm and what you do and what sorts of cases you specialize in?
Yeah, well, my law practice is dedicated to consumer protection, which can be a broad category, both in individual cases and class actions. I'm representing consumers, plaintiffs, ordinary people who have had their rights violated by typically big businesses, banks, payday lenders, debt collectors, credit bureaus. And we bring those actions on behalf of individuals. We do a lot under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. We've been spending a lot of our time over the last few years suing the robo-dialers, the robo-debt collectors, the banks that are using robocalls to bother people and attempt to collect debts. But we've taken on predatory lenders for violating Minnesota's usury laws and statutes. It helps people that have had incorrect reporting on their credit reports. Just a whole host of illegal repossession, unlawful repossession, a whole host of things that fall under that category of consumer protection and largely in financial matters.
And frequently, I should say, Brett, that
our cases are typically, we take them and we do those on a contingency fee basis. So we're not charging people. They're not paying. They're something that we take out of the back end, our fees, because so many of these statutes, consumer protection statutes, part of the remedy is that the defendant or the wrongdoer has to pay the attorney's fees of the complainant or the plaintiff. So I always want to emphasize that because people should avail themselves of their rights and not feel that legal bills and fees are going to be a barrier when it comes to consumer protection.
Yeah, and that actually leads me into my next question, because I imagine with a lot of people getting laid off for either the first time or maybe getting laid off for the first time in a long time, they're going to be getting those debt collection
type calls and might be concerned about what their rights necessarily are. And as you mentioned, when you think about litigation, you think about paying thousands of dollars in legal fees, and sometimes that can scare people away from exercising those rights. And I imagine we're probably going to have folks run into this more and more as the pandemic continues.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think there's going to be tremendous economic fallout for individuals and families because of what's happened. When I was on air, I was practicing law and also on air on AM 950 in the 2008, 2009, 2010 crisis. And a lot of my work, even over the last decade, emanated from the hardships that people had during that period. So I think it's inevitable that this is going to create similar problems. I will say that in preparing for this interview with you and going through all of the executive orders issued by our governor, going through all of the CARES Act, and trying, there is an enormous amount of relief and help that is trying to make its way to individuals and families. Just as so, you know, whether it's the $1,200 for families or for people under the CARES Act, or if it's just reprieves from the pressure right now why they may not be employed for 120 days or 180 days, you know. So there's help out there. I wouldn't fault anyone for being confused and overwhelmed by it, because as an attorney, I also am overwhelmed by going through all the different options and things. So I think the important message is for everyone out there, if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling overwhelmed about bills, if you're feeling you can't make payments, you can't, there is likely some type of relief out there, either under statute from the CARES Act, under executive order, or under even something you can negotiate privately if there's a private lender or someone that's outside of the purview of these executive orders in the CARES Act. So I hope people will not become despondent and depressed, which is easy to do in situations like these, and to be proactive in seeking out help and looking for those protections.
Talking at the local level, what sorts of executive orders have we been seeing from Governor Walz, outside of the ones that have gotten, you know, a lot of publicity, like, for instance, the idea that you can't be evicted right now amid this time period? What sorts of executive orders have we been seeing from the governor? Because it's been overwhelming, as you said, when we see these things issued every day. It's tough to keep track.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you hit on a big one, right? I mean, we do not want families and people being evicted and foreclosed upon and foreclosure sales right now during this period of time. So you hit on a very big one with his executive order that forbid those during this period of the emergency. So if someone is facing that's not to say that every landlord is aware of these executive orders or feels that they need to abide by them. So people need to be aware that those executive orders related to eviction, foreclosure, need to know that they exist, and they need to know that if they are having pushback from lenders, if they're having pushback from landlords, to contact an attorney, contact the Minnesota Attorney General's office, and fight back. You deserve to keep your, and the governor has said you can keep your family housed while during this emergency. The other one I talk about is just yesterday, Governor Tim Walz entered or signed emergency executive order 2050. And it simply said that the $1,200 that individuals received under the CARES Act, and I believe they call it the they're calling the recovery rebates, are considered government aid based on need. And the reason that language is important is that it makes it exempt from any type of garnishment, meaning that if you are presently under garnishment, or a creditor has a judgment against you, and that they cannot take those funds, and that you need to let the creditor or creditor's attorney know that you have exempt funds. And interestingly, another part of that Brett, is that when a person is receiving any government assistance based on need, whether it be food stamps, utility assistance, Medicaid, unemployment benefits, anytime they're receiving any of those things, any earnings or wages that they are receiving are also exempt from garnishment. So what that means is if you receive this $1,200 check, and you had to, I think you had to make under $100,000,
right,
to qualify, or somewhere around there. If you have received that $1,200 check, for 60 days, your wages and all earnings are exempt from any garnishment. Not only the $1,200, but your wages and earnings,
really?
If you're still working. And so I want people to know that. That is my argument. It's an executive order. It may make its way into the courts on whether my reading of that right, but I believe in my reading of that, and I would tell anyone who got that check is also facing garnishment presently to write to the creditor or creditor's attorney an exemption and say, I receive government assistance based on need in the form of a $1,200 check. And or if they're receiving any other type of government-based, needs-based assistance, to let them know, because those garnishments can stop and that can make a big difference for people right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we even had a listener a few weeks ago ask that question, wondering if banks could withhold that money if you owe different creditors. That's what I was hearing as well, that the bank
could...
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and the answer to that is, under my reading of this executive order, is no. They cannot. That is not garnishable. It can't be levied. It is meant to provide assistance to people. And now, my argument further is that is government-based, is need-based assistance, and that their wages and earnings for 60 days are also cannot be garnished. Or levied.
Would that also apply to any back taxes owed to the government?
Well, taxes are a different animal. Now, there are, what I have read, and I will admit that there's so much of this stuff, I have not had a chance to read every single reg. My understanding is that the government has suspended any type of reimbursement, federal government at least, and I need to check and see if Minnesota have stopped taking any offset from tax rebates or Social Security if you have back taxes due. My understanding is that that has been suspended, but that would take a call to review on the IRS site or call the Minnesota Department of Revenue to confirm that. But there is relief out there for that.
Well, anything else you'd like to highlight among the executive orders that people should be paying attention to? Maybe some of these orders that have flown under the radar that haven't gotten a lot of play in the media that could really help consumers and people who are borrowers?
Those are the big two. And I think... But I will say there's a flurry of them that are coming out. I went on and I was looking up all the executive orders, and they go on and on. So there is a lot out there right now. But I think we've hit on the two. Now that's not to diminish what the federal government has done in regards to allowing for forbearances on federally backed mortgages. Mm-hmm. That are owned by, you know, Fannie, Freddie, VA. So I think people need to know that there are two elements to this. There are the state laws and the executive orders being issued by Tim Walz, our legislature, but then also a number of things that are coming out of federal agencies too.
So looking at what we've seen at both the federal and the state level, we've certainly seen some consumer protections that have been enacted, but the question is, are these going to be enforced? Because that's where the details really come down to. Because if there's a company out there that's saying, well, all right, if we end up doing something that's technically illegal, if that costs, well, less than paying what the potential litigation would cost. They're going to do that every time. So do we have enough in terms of the enforcement mechanisms to make sure that these executive orders and legislation at the federal level are actually going to be enforced?
Yeah, well, the executive orders all have enforcement provisions within them for civil fines and being enforced by the Minnesota Attorney General's office. So I think it is important to contact the Minnesota Attorney General's office, even the victim of some type of fraud or violation of these orders, because they need to know, because they have the people, the cops on the beat, so to speak, to get out and put an end to it quickly, because if you're experiencing it, it is very likely that others are also. So that's one part of it. Also, contacting a private attorney like myself is something you should consider also, because we have the knowledge and, you know, the ability to see if there are private remedies available to help people that are victims of this. I also wanted to say one other thing, Brett, if I could. Just, you know, there are two parts to this. Anytime a tragedy, if you want to call it that right now, what's going on economically for people and the pandemic come along, is that we have the government jumping in to respond and to help people. But unfortunately, it also stimulates or creates a lot of people that come out of the woodwork that are committing frauds and abuse and abuse of businesses. I'd really encourage your listeners to be very skeptical of anything they are receiving in their email, their phone calls, their mailbox, from people offering or businesses offering loans and other types of relief that perhaps seem too good to be true, because they usually are. And I don't think that I think people need to have their radars up for anything advertising some program, federal program, or you know, they come in all sorts, these frauds. But people really need to have their antennas up and to protect themselves from getting into things that are scams and frauds.
Oh, most definitely. I can even think back to a text I received a few weeks ago that said, alert from the Minnesota Department of Health. A patient has tested positive for COVID-19, and they said they were in contact with you within 7 days. Stay at home. We will need to send a test to you. And then it gives you what I'm guessing is a fake website to go to. We're probably going to see lots of those types of things that are going to come out of the woodwork as well.
Sure, absolutely. And I think back to 09, 010, when there was some relief acts issued by Congress dealing with the housing crisis, and then pretty soon the radio mail was flooded with businesses that were playing on that, saying, did you know the government set up a plan to help you with your mortgage? Call us and we'll help you.
And as you're saying, these are just are like actual ads that are airing on media outlets too.
Exactly. It's the messages to listeners and to people is definitely don't become despondent or depressed. If you're going through a difficult time, seek out the resources, Minnesota Attorney General's office, National Association of Consumer Advocates, the National Consumer Law Center. Find out what programs are legitimately available to you. Look at the executive orders. Find out go to reputable sources to find out the help you can get. And then the second part of that is to stay away from the scams and frauds, and don't allow yourself to be taken in on those. So those are the two parts of this. My website is, if people are looking, is MinnesotaConsumerRights.com, MNConsumerRights.com. Either will get you there, HaneyLaw.com. I can point people in the right directions, or if they have cases, I can certainly look at those too. But those are, I just hope people will avail themselves of everything that's being done right now to help.
And that was part one of my conversation with Mark Haney, former AM 950 radio host and now also consumer rights attorney. You can find out more at HaneyLaw.com. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll continue talking with Mark as we'll talk about what your rights are if you're getting those annoying debt collection calls. That and more coming up next.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. In a time of growing food insecurity around the world, in the U.S., farmers are dumping milk, plowing under lettuces, and in Minnesota, a contract farmer had 61,000 birds killed against his wishes. The root structures of our industrial food system are becoming visible. Now it's time to pull up these roots. Shopping farmers markets, co-op, buying directly, and growing your own food. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime on podcast.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics, and I want to thank you for listening to AM 950. The advertisers you hear are what allows us to stay on the airwaves, and unfortunately, some of them are going to be going through some tough times with the coronavirus. So support our advertisers in any way you can, whether that's ordering takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. Even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way. Find a full list of our advertisers at AM950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, expect mostly sunny skies, the high near 61. By tonight, cloudy skies with a low around 34. Friday, sunny with a high of 48 and the low around 34, while Saturday is a chance of rain with a high of 59 and the low around 39. AM 950 wants to say thank you to all the listeners that have supported us by becoming members. We are committed to getting through this and to supporting our community, but we can still use help through membership as we are a long way from getting through this virus. If you'd like to support AM 950 by becoming a member, go to am950radio.com. As an essential business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to help you with all your heating and cooling needs. They've also got a great deal to get you ready for summer. During May, you can save $1,900 or more on a new furnace and air conditioner and also have payments as low as $83 a month. Or ask about their 0% financing option. Find out more about these great deals at standardheating.com/AM950. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style. Look, we're all working from home right now, and chances are you've become aware of the importance of a decent office chair. Well, I'd like to offer you a means of helping a local business while making working from home a lot more pleasant. How about considering the X Chair? We can ship the X Chair directly to your home. Now, I wish I could have you into Habitation to try it out, but that's not an option. So I'm encouraging you to visit xchair.com to have a look. But once you do, please give Habitation a call to place your order. Doing so ensures that you're supporting a local business at a time that we really need your help. And I'll tell you what, when you place your order by phone with Habitation, we'll discount the chairs an extra 10% off the lowest price on the X Chair website. So do your back, neck, and butt a favor and take a look at X Chair at xchair.com. Then call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, Machiavelli.
Niccolo Machiavelli is most famous for saying that in politics, the ends justifies the means.
Yeah, except he never actually said that.
But his masterpiece, The Prince, is an instruction manual for conniving politicians everywhere.
Only because it's so widely misunderstood. The Prince is really about political redemption.
Machiavelli, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
We're back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So coming up, we're going to play back part two of my conversation with Mark Haney. He is a consumer rights attorney and also former on-air personality on AM 950 radio. As we're talking about what your rights are as consumers, so let's get back now to my interview with Mark. A few more topics I want to go through with you, and actually just continuing on, well, some of the fraudsters, as we're talking about, that are probably going to be coming out of the woodwork, as we're talking about, over the next few months and years, probably. What can people do to try to detect whether something is fraudulent or not? I know you were talking about how you can go to a private attorney or look at the executive orders or go to the attorney general's office, because I imagine a lot of people think, well, I have a pretty good radar for determining what's fraud and what's not. But a lot of these scammers are very good at making themselves come across as, well, legitimate and reputable type of businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think most people think they have a good radar for it. I think a lot of people do have a good radar, but that situations like this with the coronavirus and all the stress and the economic collapse that's happening right now can make that radar not as efficient at detecting things because of kind of the desperation that people have. So I think the first thing is just to be aware that it's an awareness that what you're being told by a company may not be true. And what you're hearing on radio or in the mail and things might not be true. You need to find those reputable sources for information. That is how you're going to do it. If you don't do anything without finding a reputable source, and I count reputable sources as consumer advocacy organizations, reputable consumer advocacy organizations like the National Consumer Law Center, the National Association of Consumer Advocates. I count those as the Minnesota Attorney General's Office. I count it as the governor's website. Those are the places I want, you know, people to verify what they're receiving or believing. And then the you know, kind of the old the age old rule of thumb is, if it's too good to be true, it is. And so I think people need to focus on that also. And if I can give one other piece of advice, is just general, even if you're in a tough situation now financially, call the regular bills that you have, call your cell phone carrier, call your internet provider, call and let them know what's going on and that you can't pay. And they are likely going to make some accommodations, or they are going to reduce bills. I think there's a lot you can do, but you need to be staying directly with reputable sources of information and also going directly to those creditors that you have or companies that you deal with.
When it comes to talking to your creditors, and certainly take this with a grain of salt, I remember seeing this from a Facebook post my friend made. They were saying that you have to use like specific language when you're talking to some of these creditors to make sure that they will make accommodations. Something like, you need to specifically say that you no longer have income because of COVID-19. Is that necessarily true, or do you
or are creditors generally going to give you some type of relief?
Well, the answer is I don't. I've never heard of specific language. I think they're probably getting into, well, the from the top down of the company has come their flow sheet as far as, you know, where do we put people, and the people that have lost their job here will offer this. If they are simply having a cutback on their income, we put them here. This is what we'll offer. So perhaps that, you know, maybe what he's thinking about with specific language, but I think generally calling and explaining your financial hardship and saying that you're going to need an accommodation in order to cancel the account, that usually that will motivate a company to know you're serious, and that if they want to keep you as a customer and they want to keep some income themselves, because don't forget, these companies are also hurting. Or some of them, you know, many of them are hurting too. They don't want to lose customers. So I think that if you say, explain a hardship, you tell them that either to come, you need some help, or you're going to have to cancel your account, that you're going to find some negotiating room there.
So this is certainly an area you specialize in, and this would be debt collection and sometimes collectors who end up harassing borrowers. Are we expecting to see, well, probably an obvious answer, I'm sure we're going to see more aggressive actions. What can people do to fight back against this? What are their rights when it comes to debt collection now with COVID-19?
Yeah, well, when it will be the same. We have a strong federal law called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it protects people from abusive and harassing debt collectors, those collectors that are collecting consumer debts. The example is they can't call your friends and family. They can't call your work. They have specific hours during which they can call. They can't harass you. They can't swear at you. They can't claim that you need to pay more than you're legally obligated to pay. They can't throw fees on. The law is too expansive with the restrictions to go through everything, but it is safe to say that that a debt collector cannot treat you unfairly or deceptively, or they violated the federal law and you're entitled to statutory damages of $1,000, actual damages for emotional distress, and then they have to pay the attorney's fees and costs associated with that. It's a very strong federal law. Now, right now, we're probably in a quiet period. But it is going to, as things get back eventually to normal, whatever normal is going to look like after this, the accounts are going to make their way to debt collectors, and they're going to start calling, and they're going to be after people, and the abuses will start. Getting calls from debt collectors, letters and stuff, I mean, that's the point where call me. I can talk to you. Call my office, MinnesotaConsumerRights.com. There's no fee for consultations, and we do them no upfront costs, and we can protect them. So people should also know that they don't have to tolerate those abuses. And I'll give you examples. I mean, I've had clients who debt collection agencies have been calling their workplaces and embarrassing them there by asking to talk to their bosses, calling family members and telling family members to tell the debtor to pay their debts, calling hundreds of times, robo-dialing. I mean, these are all violations, and people should call me and let me know, and I'm happy to talk to them about those.
We've been speaking with Mark Haney of the Haney Law Firm. You can find out more at haneylaw.com, also a former AM950 radio host. Mark, we're going to have you back on again, because as we were talking about before we even came on air, we could go on for hours and hours talking about some of these topics, but it could be a good idea if we can make this a somewhat recurring feature on the show. I'm sure a lot of folks probably have questions as well.
I would love to do it, Brett. And as you said, I was preparing to talk to you, and I've got a stack of documents, about 100 pages worth of stuff in my desk, trying to boil this all down. So, yeah, I'd be happy to come back on. But again, my advice to people is to seek out the reputable sources and seek for the help, and don't become depressed and despondent over this terrible situation. But there is help out there.
Yeah, most definitely. Can you give out your contact information one more time?
Yeah, they can contact the office, 952-933-9655, or they can go on the website, email me, set up times to talk or to call. The website is, like you said, haneylaw.com, HEANEYLAW.com, or a simpler way of doing is minnesotaconsumerrights.com, minnesotaconsumerrights.com.
All right, Mark, thanks again for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Brett, I appreciate it. Enjoy your show and enjoy listening. Thanks.
Hey, big thanks to all of our members who have signed up for AM 950 memberships, including Gary in Bloomington, Stephen in Brooklyn Park, Neil and Heidi from Eagan, Philip from East Greenbrush, New York, Gary in Minneapolis, James in Coon Rapids, Mark in Robbinsdale, and more. Keep in mind, if you do sign up for an AM 950 membership, you get access to our member content page where we'll be posting exclusive interviews that you can only hear if you sign up for an AM 950 membership. Go over to am950radio.com to sign up today. Well, that's about all the time I got for today on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. We got Matt McNeil coming up next.
This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature actor Chris Mulkey. Chris has appeared in over 100 film and TV shows, including Captain Phillips, Twin Peaks, Rambo First Blood, and more. You'll see his face if you cruise the late night airwaves. He's also recently recovered from COVID-19. We did a phone interview with him. You will find it most enjoyable and informative. 6 p.m. Saturday on AM 950.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics, and I want to thank you for listening to AM 950. The advertisers you hear are what allows us to stay on the airwaves, and unfortunately, some of them are going to be going through some tough times with the coronavirus. So support our advertisers in any way you can, whether that's ordering takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. Even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
Cowtipping Press teaches and publishes creative writing by adults with developmental disabilities, documenting what are still far too rare firsthand accounts from this still far too segregated group of people. This Saturday at 9 a.m., tune into Connections Radio to hear not just about, but from people with developmental disabilities. Why it's important to include them as authors in the books we read, employees in the places we work, friends and community members, and as contributors to the policies we pass, especially now. That's this Saturday at 9 a.m. on Connections Radio.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. And right now, with so much fear, uncertainty, anxiety, and real problems, I mean, people are facing hunger, there's depression, there's anxiety. What else is there? There's climate change, there's the soil going corrupt. How do we connect with each other? How do we take this moment of crisis and take a sad song and make it better? That's what we're talking about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to us Saturdays at 8 a.m. or Sundays at 11 or anytime on podcast, Food Freedom Radio.